can walk, get up here, you'll make it, one way or the other. Amen. Well, we do want to welcome you here to our candlelight services tonight. Many will be joining us via the internet or online. Some can't make it tonight, and some are in different towns and states, and we're just appreciative that you've joined with us here tonight, too. We'll open a word of prayer here, and Brother Steve's going to come lead us in song here tonight. Father, as we come to your throne of grace, we come in that very precious name of Jesus tonight. And Father, we're excited about all who have joined us here in the physical building, and Lord, the many who will be joining us via the internet. Lord, we pray that tonight as we come together to lift up and to magnify your name, that Lord, we'll be drawn just that much closer to you. And so, Father, we pray tonight that there'll be a great outpouring of your Spirit to meet all the needs of all who are gathered here tonight. And so, Father, as we celebrate your birth today, we pray that you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good evening to you, and Merry Christmas, and a most joyful celebration of our Savior's birth. Amen. Take your hymnals tonight, if you would, right there in front of you, and turn with me to hymn number 85. We're going to get started in song this evening. Hymn number 85, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful."
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 14 tonight. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And as she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
At this time, I'll ask our youth group, our Patch Club, if they would join me here up front for a special number for you this evening.
Well, we usually have Brother Jim Smith here reading a lot of scripture for us, but Brother Jim is home recovering from double bypass surgery on his heart, and we're glad that he's home. He was doing so much better than they probably had expected, so much quicker, and we're excited about that. But I'm sure he'd much rather have been here than to be home recovering. But we're so thankful that he's able to be at home. And Rose, did you set him up on the computer so he could watch us online tonight? Okay. Let's just hope, Brother Jim, you didn't mess with any buttons tonight, all right, buddy? All right. We all know John 3:16 tonight, and I really believe this Christmas season is all about the wonderful gift that God gave to the world. And I'm going to ask the congregation to join with me tonight in just reciting John chapter 3 and verse 16. Just repeat right after me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse sums up really the Christmas season, doesn't it? But we're not done yet, that's for sure. That won't be my message. Cortez's going to come and share with us a beautiful song.
Amen. If I can have ladies join me.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, so much. Appreciate it. What a beautiful song. Your turn. Take your hymnals, if you would. Turn with me to hymn number 90. Hymn number 90, please. Gentle Mary laid her child. It sounds like a song you may not have heard, but you'll recognize the tune soon enough. And I'm going to ask if you would, stand with me. Stand with me. We're going to sing on all three stanzas, hymn number 90, Gentle Mary laid her child. Singing, I don't know. Whew. All right. Listen to the words of this song, if you would. It's a beautiful song. I don't know if I'll be able to do it justice, but by God's grace, the message will still come through. I wonder as I wander.
Savior.
If you would, turn up to hymn number 95. Hymn number 95. Do you wonder how Christ could have come for us? Out of God's love, indeed. Amen. Hymn number 95. Joy to the world. Amen that he did. Joy to the world, singing on the first, the third, and the fourth verses.
Joy to the world. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. On that third verse, no more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. He rules the world of truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, wonders of his love. And wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor, won't you come tonight?
Well, we appreciate all the special music and the congregation and their participation. Title of tonight's message is Countdown to Christmas. And I don't know, some of us who are a little bit old, if you can remember what it was like when December 1st hit and you began to count down the days. first of all, until school was over, and then that last final week until Christmas would finally get here. And back in the day when I was a little one, I remember the radio programs. We didn't have television back in those days. We listened to a big old radio that was probably about as big as this pulpit. And it had a little dial on it, about that big. Everything else inside there was all tubes and it was speakers and all. And we used to listen to all the different Christmas programs on Christmas Eve and everything. But from time to time, my wife would send our grandchildren Advent calendars. And, of course, they were little packets of chocolate in them. And each day they'd get to open up one of those little doors here and take out the piece of chocolate and get to eat that. And that's how they'd keep track of it. But we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to go way, way, way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And there are at least minimally 351 Bible prophecies concerning the person, the birth, the life, and the death of Christ. Relax. We're not going to cover all 351 tonight. We are going to look at some of them. And my grandson AJ is on the other side over there. And at time, I will be reading the Old Testament prophecies, and then I'll have AJ read the fulfillment of them in the New Testament this evening. But the Gospel of Luke says, chapter 24 and verse 44, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Now, if we take all the scriptures beginning in, as I said, the book of Genesis, right through into the New Testament, even into the book of Revelation, but especially into the area of the New Testament and some of the Pauline epistles of the New Testament, we have a historical countdown, if you will, to the reason for this season. The birth of our Son, the birth of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, born into time. As one writer put it, Christmas is a time when we should all expect heaven's entrance into our dusty, dirty world. It is a time that reminds us all that miracles really do happen, and their prayers are actually answered, and that heaven is just one response away. Perhaps the best way to view biblical prophecy, in which God is the author, is to see prophecy as a future promise from God. God foretelling something that he intends to take place at some point in time. Some of those prophecies had a double point of reference. Some took place relatively soon when the prophecy was given, and some had another aspect to it that would take place maybe a century or several centuries or maybe even a millennium, as we look at some of them here tonight. And because prophecy is a future promise from God, it is why God takes false prophets who prophesy falsely. It is done often to discredit God in the minds and the hearts of men. That's why we have chosen here at Calvary to stay with the King James Version of the Bible. We are a KJV on the church. I believe that the other translations have been trifled with and they've been messed with, and as many have down throughout the centuries. But we believe that there is one that has remained true and has been passed on as it should be. So it doesn't change the reality of God's promise or God's promises. God's promises will always come to pass, as a vast majority have, and the stage is being set to bring to fulfillment prophecies pertaining to Christ's second coming. Now, we're looking for the rapture. We're not looking for the second coming. We're looking for the rapture. Amen? And I tell you what, if things keep going the way they're going in the Middle East, we may be going with our Undertaker before any of us will ever see the Undertaker, which is okay with me, if you will. We've gone down to it. But we want to look very quickly here tonight at prophecies and their fulfillment tonight. If I were to address all the prophecies that God has set forth concerning Christ, we'd be here for hours. And so I will only deal with, as I said, just a few of the highlights tonight. The first begins back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And it's following Adam's rejection of God's authority and desire to live a life independent of God. And it was a choice. It was a choice on Adam's part, a choice of sin over righteousness, which would leave all of the human race separated from God and with hopelessness. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the first indication of God's intent. And it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And then we read over in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5.
When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
So God gave to Adam a prophecy of hope. I am so thankful that God gave it not only to him, but he gave it to us as well. But God gives to Adam a prophecy of hope which has been fulfilled. And once again, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, if you listen very closely, it has been fulfilled.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Now there are many more in the book of Genesis, but we're going to just look at a few here, as we did just there. Now Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5. In the book of Exodus, the lamb without blemish was a foreshadowing of the character of Christ and Christ's heart. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "For the lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." And we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19.
"For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot."
Moving on in the book of Leviticus, the blood atonement was again a foreshadowing of the price of our atonement. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7.
"But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all his sin, from all sin."
Into the book of Psalms, and I mean to tell you, there's a lot of messianic passages in the book of Psalms. And we'll move into Isaiah, and there's even a bunch more there. And it's so exciting. And I hope that the point is that when you're going through the Old Testament, you're not looking at it as just simply being something that's old history, if you will. But we're looking through there and look for these specific portions of Scripture that Jesus Christ has fulfilled. And I believe as you go through the Old Testament, it won't be as dry as you really think it is. It'll be exciting. It'll bring it to life, if you will. So in the 22nd book of Psalm, there are at least 19 references just in that chapter alone that could only have been fulfilled in the person of Christ. We'll just look at a couple here tonight. In Psalm 22 and verse 1, the psalmist says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" In Matthew 24, 27 and verse 46.
"And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
Again, in the 22nd chapter, 22nd book of Psalms, verses 14 and 15, we see his agony on the cross predicted and prophesied in John chapter 19 and verse 28.
"After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst."
Now, there are some 101 references in the book of Psalms alone that were or will be fulfilled concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Isaiah, in the 8th century B.C., there are at least 121 messianic scriptures that only Christ, once again, could and did and will fulfill as Redeemer and as Messiah. The most familiar that we're all familiar with is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. There the scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And once again, back to Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
And in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, we see, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Matthew 27 and verse 26.
Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Now, for me, you may not understand the idea of scourged. That was just not a little slap on the wrist as sometimes we might think happened today in this day and age. They were beaten to within literally an inch of their life. And when they were beaten, the back that they beat upon usually was laid bare and raw, with oftentimes skin, and not a very pretty picture for a Christmas Eve service. We have to understand, listen, what our Lord went through for us, he was still knowing all of this, still came to this earth in the form of a babe that he might grow and that he might go to the cross. But we see in Isaiah 53, verse 6 and 7, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. And we see that answered in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8.
But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Isaiah 53 and verse 9 we read, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. And Matthew records in chapter 27 and verse 57,
and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed.
Perhaps maybe one that you remember and songs have been written about is Micah chapter 5 in verse 2, just a small minor prophet book. But here we see the birthplace of our Lord and Savior fulfilled in Luke chapter 2, but Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And again in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. I'm sorry, yeah, it should be verse 11. I ordered that for you, Jay.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen. There are hundreds, as I said, of Old Testament passages that have found their fulfillment and recorded in many of the New Testament passages. And as you and I celebrate the birth of Christ, we also celebrate hundreds of Old Testament verses written over hundreds, in some cases thousands of years, in which both time and verses converged upon this one point in history. Isn't that amazing? All of those Old Testament prophecies converging on this point in our history. So yes, miracles do take place, especially when a sinner accepts Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. The miracle of a new birth. Yes, God still answers prayer. And yes, heaven is only as far away as a response to God's gift of eternal redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We look over into 1 John chapter 1. The fulfillment and our need to receive Christ. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can't think of a greater gift that man could have received or that God could have given than to have given his Son that we might have life, not only eternal life, but abundant life here and even now. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 takes the complication out of it. I don't know why it is that there are various other persuasions of faith that make things so difficult, or they try to unravel what God has said. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's not a matter of works or membership. It's all about believing and receiving Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior. This is what Christmas is all about. God's gift made available to us. And yes, it's cute to see the little baby in a manger. And it's heart-rending to see that baby 33 years later hanging on an old rugged cross. But folks, that old rugged cross is where the gift became available to you and I. And if we don't receive him as our own personal Lord and Savior, yes, you will have eternal life even if you don't accept Christ. But you will not spend your eternity with the Lord. He's very clear about that. He told Nicodemus, a religious ruler who came to him by night, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." This Christmas season, it is your choice to make. I can't make it for you. No one else can make it. You need to receive him as your own personal Lord and Savior. And you know, I find out oftentimes that when someone accepts Christ, that someone's been praying for him. A mom, a dad, a brother, a sister. Maybe it's been children praying for a mom and a dad who, when they receive Jesus Christ, there is no greater gift that you could give to those who have been praying for you than receive Jesus Christ. Whether you're in the sanctuary here this evening or whether you're listening via the internet, our live streaming program, you can, right where you are, accept Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. Now, we're not done, but we're going to close in a word of prayer. We're going to sing a birthday song to our Lord and Savior. We're going to have a little birthday cake, and then we're going to light our candles here. But let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord this evening. Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity, this time that we have to be together. Lord, it's just a very brief historical countdown toward Christmas. And Lord, here we are tonight. We're celebrating something that happened a little over 2,000 years ago. Father, you kept a promise. You fulfilled a vast number of prophecies. And Lord, we're excited. There's still unfulfilled prophecy that concerns the nation of Israel. Lord, that will transpire, much of it will transpire in the tribulation time period and some yet in the millennium. But Father, right now in this dispensation, this age of grace, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. But Father, it may be that there's one or more here tonight who has never accepted you as their own personal Lord and Savior. Lord, or there are maybe those who are at home or somewhere else that may be listening in tonight that has never accepted you. And Father, we'd ask and pray tonight that you become so very real to them. Lord, they know what they need to do, and they can do it right now. And Lord, it may be the devil's trying to tell them that they've been too vile a sinner, or that, God, you could never love them. And Lord, that's just a lie of the devil. Father, you have proved that you love them, each and every one. So Father, tonight we pray that if they would just, as best they know how, bow their head and surrender their heart and ask you to forgive them and to put their name in your Lamb's Book of Life, then Father, you promise that if they'll confess their sin and invite you into their heart, then Lord, you would come and you'd put their name in that Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, if someone has done that tonight, we just rejoice. But Father, we also realize that probably most everyone here tonight has received you as their own personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we've got a great responsibility. Just as the angels came to the shepherds that night and told them of that great wonderful thing that was happening in Bethlehem, a Savior is born. Father, we need to tell them the Savior has come and he has provided a means of propitiation for our sin tonight. And Father, we've got an important responsibility. Lord, while hearts are still somewhat tender during this Christmas season, more open than they might be any other time of the year, Lord, may this be the season that we have the boldness that we need to be able to speak up for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we're going to give you the praise for the work that you continue to do in the lives of those who gathered here and those who may be just viewing tonight. And Father, we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we do have a birthday cake here. And we need a lot of help here. And I'm getting icing all over my fingers here. That's pretty good. I'm going to get a taste out before they blow on it here. All right. I need all the little ones here. Okay. Whoa. Not very good at this one. Well, I know. Why don't I just stick it in here? Where's all the little ones? Come on, guys. Come on. I need all the ones up here. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, Diane. You want to help us out? You want to come up here so you get way up here. Careful of that violin. Way up here. Where's it going to be better, Justin? Over here? Over here? Over here?
Anywhere.
All right. Turn this way, buddy. Turn this way. Turn around, face me. Kicks this way. There you go. Kicks it this way here. Here we go. All right, we're going to sing. You want them to sing it, or you just want to sing it? No, we're going to sing it. We'll all sing it. Steve.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, ready? On the count of three, you're going to blow it out. Okay, on the floor. Everybody, don't you get ahead of me. Ready? One, big breath. Oh, come on, that's not going to blow a candle out. Come on, big breath, big breath. Ready? One, two. Whoa, right, good job. Did a great job. Amen. Alan's looking, he's going to get that at the church. Nathan is here. All right, what we're going to do tonight, we're going to turn our lights down here in a moment. And if you come through the center aisles, no, actually the outside aisles, start with the front row here and just one after row after another, pick up a candle, light them off the end candle, and then go back. And put your hand in front of it, it may not blow out, but if it does, ask the person next to you to light it off of theirs, if you would. So we'll start with my wife. And Scott, your family, would you come up through this way here, and Steve, you can follow. Thank you.
read them, the words to Silent Night are on the latter part of your bulletin tonight. Join with me and we'll sing on all three stanzas tonight, Silent Night, Holy Night. Beautiful. So let's sing a cappella on that second verse tonight.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar.
Once again, we just thank you for what this season is all about. Lord, it's the beginning of one of the most wonderful gifts man could have possibly ever have received and known. Lord, that is the gift of your Son coming into our lives. And so, Father, tonight we just pray for the unsaved family members, friends, and even neighbors who have been witnessed to throughout this year. Father, how we pray that before this year ends, they'll come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. Father, embolden us that we may also share the gospel as opportunity avails itself. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Now, Father, dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.